Hello and welcome. My name is Luke Burridge and this is the Science Fiction Book Review Podcast. It's the show where I review every science fiction book that I read as I read it. And if you want to know more about it, just check out sfbrp.com and check out the wiki there, or listen to the very first episode on the podcast feed, and I go into a lot more detail about who I am and what I do and what this podcast is all about. So, last time I reviewed a very, very bad book and called Time Station Berlin, but it's the first in the book in the series of books that I've read about places I've been to or lived in. And the second book in that theme is today's review, and it's by Kim Stanley Robinson, and it's called Antarctica. And of course I'm reading this because I went to Antarctica earlier on this year. I'm just trying to quickly look for the date in the front of the book. Normally I write this down. First published in 1997, I think. Yeah, 1997, or first published in 1998. So that's when it is, and it's a pretty good book. But first of all, just a quick introduction. I've read a few other Kim Stanley Robinson books before, of course, the Mars series and some of the California books too. And I think one book about I can't even remember. I should really look this up online and put it in my notes. But a book about a musician traveling throughout the solar system with this big, weird, wonderful kind of musical instrument that he plays. And I quite enjoyed that one as well. A very strange book compared to his others, though. So I've read the Mars trilogy, like I said. And this book, when I first read this book, probably about 2 years after it came out, probably around about 8 years ago or so, I thought it was going to be the sort of like a sequel, no, not a sequel, a prequel to the Mars books, because I remember that the people who go to Mars, they train in Antarctica before they go, but it's not that at all. It's very different. It's actually what you could call like an ecological thriller, maybe, or a sci-fi book. I actually just listened to, coincidentally, I just started reading this book and listened to a podcast from the BBC on one of the BBC Radio 3 arts programs, and it was talking about science fiction and global warming. And Kim Stanley Robinson was, of course, mentioned, and he said it's really difficult to write a book about global warming because global warming takes a long, long time, and it's hard to compress like the consequences and the world-changing consequences of global warming and all that down into like a single novel that humans can relate to, because it's not like a typical disaster. We've seen how badly it can be done as a disaster, I guess, in The Day After Tomorrow, that film. But this is slightly different. So he has to introduce a fake disaster. Let me just go into a little bit about this, actually. I guess the book is set about, 20 years or so in the future. And, you know, there's lots of global warming and some of the Antarctica, you know, some of the ice shelves are melting and stuff. And that's the setup. And also the Antarctic Treaty has lapsed. And, you know, there's more exploration going on in Antarctica for oil. And lots more people are going down there now than ever before. And the book actually starts by this activist, an environmental activist, and he keeps taking bigger and bigger steps to try and disrupt all the sort of like capitalist activities and environmental pollution, all that kind of stuff. And he goes down to Antarctica to cook up something big. And that's the way the story starts. But you don't hear from this guy again. Instead, you follow different characters in and around Antarctica. The first person, I guess the main character, is Val. And she's a tour guide, and she takes people on walks, these things called footsteps walks, where they walk in the footsteps of famous explorers in Antarctica, which is interesting. And there's another character called X. You never actually get to know his real name, and he's what you call a general field assistant. And general field assistant is just sort of like the general dog's bodies down in Antarctica. He has to do all the worst jobs down there. So while Val has a good job, like being a guide and doing what she loves, X just pretty much does what he hates, and he's only in Antarctica all the time because he really loves Antarctica. And then the third main character, I guess, is a guy called Wade, who's actually in other Kim Stanley Robinson books as well, and he's the assistant to a congressman, and he is there. He's sent down to Antarctica to work out what's going on, because there's mysterious disappearances of equipment and other bits of like terrorism going on down there, and he's sent down there to investigate. And So Wade's main job really is to travel around Antarctica, and you follow him because he's the new one going down there. He's discovering the cold for the first time, and he visits all the different bases and meets lots of different people and spends time with scientists here and other researchers here and with, you know, oil men there and all that kind of stuff. So Wade is pretty much your sort of like everyman in one way. And X and Val, they used to be a couple and they split up, and X quits the company who's sort of running the boring side of stuff down there in Antarctica, and he goes to work for an oil company. And Val, you know, she first of all leads Wade round a bit, and sort of then she starts leading one of these footsteps treks across Antarctica. And their paths cross along the way. And this is actually goes on for like maybe like 300 pages in the book. Everything's set up and you get to know a lot about Antarctica. And then disaster strikes and these people are sort of cut off in various places around Antarctica. And they've got to save themselves and get back to civilization. And I don't really want to go into too much more because I'd start spoiling things as we go along. That's the story. Again, it doesn't sound like very much story, but I guess that's one of the detracting points about this book, is that the story is a little bit weak. But I'll get a bit more into that in a bit. The thing that I like about this book, or the things I really like about this book, is the writing style and how much it captures Antarctica. First of all, it's really, really cold, and everything in this book comes back to just how cold it is in Antarctica. In the same way that when I was talking about Dune, you know, Arrakis is just very, very dry, Antarctica is just very, very cold, and every bit of technology comes back to the cold, and every character comes back to the cold, and almost every decision that's made just comes back to how cold it is in Antarctica. The technology in there, again, it's only set a little bit in the future, so you don't see a lot of new technology. Actually, it was written in 1998, so some of the technology was just being glimpsed at, stuff that's now really quite common, like the radios and GPS systems that you can just carry around, and computer systems which track paths and you follow them. That's all there as well. Also, now you can start getting like suits which have heating elements in them as well. They're mentioned quite a lot. And the tents and the sleds, and there's hovercrafts and snowmobiles and airships and all that kind of stuff going on there. And I actually really quite liked all of that because it's very, very realistic. Everything in the book seems to have, it's very, very well founded in reality there. And there's lots of themes in the book as well. You know, there's all like the environment and sustainability, and like in the Mars trilogy as well. Actually, to be honest, I've got to say it, there's not a lot of new themes in this book which weren't in the Mars trilogy. So if you've read that, you'll be reading a lot of the same ideas again, sort of like alternative social structures and the cooperatives and all that kind of stuff. And then there's like another themes, a few other themes as well, talking about human achievement and exploration and all that kind of stuff. Again, this is a book in the series of places I visited, and how well do these books capture these places. And, you know, if it was a book about Antarctica, I'd have to give this book 5 stars out of 5 stars. It just captures Antarctica perfectly, you know, because like I say, I went there last year and I recognised Antarctica all over the place in this book, and this book in Antarctica. Of course, Kim Stanley Robinson, you know, you read in the back of the book, he visited Antarctica, spent a lot of the time. He talks about the artist project of writers and artists going down to Antarctica, and he was obviously one of these people. And, you know, he's done masses and masses and masses of research, and he's travelled there around a lot of times, and he's met lots of people, and he's got lots of stories there as well, and loads of them are in the book. Not only that, he goes through loads of historical explorers and bits of history and different characters throughout the history of Antarctica, and pretty much gives their full stories in the book too. And then there's loads of geology, loads of science, loads of, you know, everything that you ever want to, like, you know, nature, everything is put into this book. And he builds a very, very real world, and it just comes back to again, that again and again, really, that when you're reading it, you just think, yes, this must be how Antarctica is. So, you know, ever since I read this book for the first time, like 8 years ago or so, I really wanted to visit Antarctica, and I got a chance to last year. As I said, I work as a juggler, and me and my girlfriend, we do juggling shows on cruise ships, and we got a chance to go on a cruise ship on a ship called the Marco Polo, and we went down South America to Tierra del Fuego, and then the Falklands, and of course also to Antarctica. And it was amazing, really amazing experience. One of the best things about it was one of the lecturers on the ship was Peter Hillary, son of Edmund Hillary, you know, first guy to the top of Mount Everest and all that kind of stuff. And he was the main lecturer. And, you know, when I first heard that name, I was like, oh, Peter Hillary. And Hillary, of course, he was mentioned in Antarctica. When I sort of met him for the first time, I thought back to the story or the stories of that I heard about his father in Antarctica from this book, because they were still quite clear in my mind about how, you know, he discovered these cairns and then went on these tractors across. Because the tractors that Edmund Hillary used to go to Antarctica was mentioned quite a bit. There's some key parts in the book Antarctica. And there I was meeting his son. And then, of course, Peter Hillary, he gave his lectures and told about himself trekking across Antarctica and how cold it was and what you had to do to keep going and trek for days and days and days and days across Antarctica. And then you read this book and you realise it's captured exactly what, you know, I hear people firsthand experience of being in Antarctica. That's what you get in this book. And also, Peter Hillary, he talks a lot about not just Antarctica, but then going his other explorations around the world, and also going on to K2, and how he was going up K2, and on the way down, you know, the weather was turning, and there were some people pushed to the summit, and he says, no, I'm going back down. And he was the last person to come up of K2 alive, and seven other people he was climbing with died there. And, you know, when you actually read that when you hear about that story for real from someone who's been through it firsthand, you realize just how dangerous the cold can be, because the storms that are on top of K2, exactly the same kind of storms as you get in Antarctica. So that's captured really well in the book too. And of course, on the ship, there was lots of other lecturers. There was people talking about history and geology. And again and again and again, as I was listening to these lectures and talking to these people, I recalled reading a lot of these same stories in the book Antarctica itself by Kim Stanley Robinson. So a lot of it is a crossover. So there's, you know, it really is a great travel document if you're ever going to go to Antarctica, or if you ever want to know anything about Antarctica, read this book. And also, of course, not just the lecturers and the people I was talking to, but my experience down there in Antarctica was amazing as well. The views that you saw on the mountains and the glaciers and the icebergs or something, it's amazing. And again, this book really does capture all of that. Again, it's just like ice, and yet cold, ice and cold, ice and cold, and you read sort of like, you know, 200 pages just about how icy and cold it is, but it really captures the difference in the different types of ices in this book, and I just found that quite amazing. And of course, there's, you know, the zodiacs and the penguins and the ships and stuff like that. But then, of course, one day we went out to this place called Half Moon Island, and we went out there in the zodiacs. And when we got there, the weather started turning, and it was like really, really icy cold. And Peter Hillary and his two sons who were with him at the time, they built this snow shelter. And so I sort of helped, you know, build this snow shelter as well. Of course, they'd got a lot of it done already. But you saw what kind of things you've got to do to survive in the cold in Antarctica. And it was really, really good fun. But then again, they cancelled that trip. You know, only half of the people managed to get across onto Half Moon Island because the wind was picking up. And if you're stuck, you know, if you're in a zodiac and the weather's really choppy and it's really, really cold, you don't want to be stuck in a zodiac because it's too dangerous to get back onto the cruise ship, onto the boat, and then also it's too dangerous to land on land because there's nothing there. It's just a complete desolate wasteland in that area. And also that the coldness and the safety was what they went into so much. You know, when the expedition leaders were talking about it, it's like, if we tell you to do something, do something. And also, you know, you can't go off the ship, you can't go into the zodiacs without, you know, full clothing that was provided by the cruise line, which is, you know, massive thick jackets, and you have to wear proper solid welly boots, because if your feet get even slightly cold, you'll get hypothermia and all that kind of stuff. So the safety aspects that we were taught about on the ship, you know, you could see it coming across in the book as well. And like I say, so if you want to get to know about Antarctica, if you're ever going to visit Antarctica, read this book first, because you actually get a lot more out of your trip to Antarctica by reading this book first and knowing much more about it. So yeah, it really is amazing. Even the boring, or the, I say the boring, the more monotonous parts of the book, you know, about walking across Antarctica, because that's what happens. People start walking, and it's just sort of like page after page after page of them talking about walking across Antarctica. You know, actually talking to Peter Hillary about it. And he was actually trekked a new route across to the South Pole as well that nobody had done before, with him and two other people. And his story is, you know, it really does get, you know, it really captures the feel of the reality of the situation of being there in Antarctica. So that's pretty cool. Like I say, 5-star book if it's just a book about Antarctica, and if you're just going to read it as a travel guide or as like a, you know, instead of an Antarctica Lonely Planet kind of stuff. But as a novel, it really doesn't cut it as good as, you know, as much as Kim Stanley Robinson's other books. Like the Mars trilogy is much, much better. You get into a lot more depth about the characters, and there's a lot more storyline in it. As a novel, I'd probably only give this around about 3 stars, and mainly because of the story itself. There's just nothing to it. I mean, there is story there, and it does, you know, once things get going, you can read, and they're doing different stuff, but things only seem to happen as a way of getting to see more of Antarctica. And there's not a real end to the book, or, you know, after all of the action, I expected something a bit bigger at the end. There's a bit more risk there, rather than sort of them just sitting down and having a discussion at the end of the book. I wanted something to really happen at the end of the book, so like Wade would go back and some big political situation would be resolved. But that kind of thing, I don't want to give stuff away, but the action really does stay with these 3 or 4 main characters. And I guess that's good in a way, because they're cut off and they're isolated, but I wanted to see more about, after this disaster that takes place, I wanted to really see more what happened away from the wilderness and the impact on the real world away from Antarctica. But you were not really given that at all. You know, if I'd have seen some a bit from like a police station or like a military station or a rescue team or something like that, I'd have been a bit happier. But you didn't really get very much about that at all. You know, like I said, there's good themes in the book, but again, it does become a bit preachy, you know, especially by the end where all the characters realise that, oh no, Kim Stanley Robinson's way of organising society probably is the best way. And I'm just thinking, do we really need that? Can we not just have a good story rather than the preaching? Because if you've read the Mars trilogy, you've got all that before, and it wasn't so preachy at all. It just seemed a bit more genuine in Mars, whereas this one, you didn't really get that. So there's not a lot of new themes, except, you know, global warming isn't cool. That's a bit crap way of saying it, but you know, that's one of the main things in this book which isn't in the Mars trilogy. But if you've not read Mars trilogy, it's a good introduction to Kim Stanley Robinson. And finally, the characters, I think they're a little bit stereotypical. They're not flat and two-dimensional in any way, but you sort of see where they're going, and these other characters that come in and are mentioned, they, you know, like there's the jock, the strong guy who's really, really strong, and then he turns out that he's not really strong and he's the weaker character, and you think, well, yeah, I could see that coming miles away, and it wasn't really a surprise. So yeah, not so good characters as well. So if you really want to read a book, you know, about Antarctica, which is this is what this is really, you know, it's like Kim Stanley Robinson visited Antarctica and he wrote a book about Antarctica. Everything in it is real, everything in it is genuine, you know, you can understand everything that's going on there, but you think, you know, was there any reason that it was written except that he wanted to write a book about Antarctica? And I say no, it isn't. So 4 stars, you know, if you just want to read a good book about Antarctica, and if you don't really care about Antarctica, maybe 3 stars. But I'm giving it 4 stars because it really did impact my life, and if it, you know, of course Antarctica has been a dream of a dream place for me to go to, but if it wasn't for this book, you know, I probably wouldn't have, you know, enjoyed my trip to Antarctica as much as I did, and that's what this series of books is all about. So yeah, 4 stars, because it's a subjective rating, and I'm the one doing the rating. So if you've enjoyed this book review, please email me, say that you liked it, and if you like these sort of kind of themes that I'm doing at the moment, you know, email me, luke@juggler.net. The other thing that you can do, if you've got book suggestions, quite a few people have done this now, they've emailed me, or they've gone to the sfbrp.com wiki, where you can just add your suggestions to the book, to the wiki straight away. Like Wikipedia, you can just add it or change it what you want, or put book requests down there, or add comments to my the reviews of the books that I've put on there as well. Finally, I did get a bit of a feedback from a previous review that I got here. Let me just see, I just open my email here, about the podcast that I did with Werner Vinge's book, which is called The Peace War, and someone says, David says, I can't believe you gave it 4.6 stars, you know, because he didn't like it. He thought it was a bit flat and the characters weren't there at all and there was too much politics. But again, you know, I agree with what you're saying. You know, it's like, you know, how the characters weren't true enough. And I agree, they weren't true enough. But there was enough in the book that I really, really enjoyed it. And the other books that I've given 4.5 stars to, I've actually read most of them before. And maybe it's just because this book was a new book that that's why I enjoyed it so much. And David also says that, of course, the bubbles didn't make any sense technologically. And again, I agree with that, and I'm right there with you. This is the real difference between that book and Antarctica. Antarctica really puts everything is realistic, and when you're reading it through, you just go, yep, that makes sense, yep, that makes sense, that, yep, that makes sense. Whereas I sometimes like just one single bit of unbelievable technology in there. Like I say, it, as long as it's there at the beginning and nothing too much happens. Like that removes, I'm just struggling to say what I mean now as well, but as long as it's set up in the beginning and the story follows on from that, I'm happy. And I think that book really did go through with that. So David gave Peace Wars 1 star, at most 1 star. And I disagreed. Maybe I would revise my star rating down. Now it's a while since I've read the book. I'd maybe revise it down to maybe 4.5 stars or maybe just 4 stars. But I think I'll just leave it 4.6 stars because I enjoyed it so much. Anyway, that's pretty much the end of this episode. Keep your emails coming in. Finally, next week's book. I've actually just got the book, but I haven't really started reading it yet, although I have read it before. And it's Moving Mars by Greg Bear. Greg Bear's Moving Mars. Again, I've read it before, but I remember enjoying it quite a lot, so I decided to read it again. And I just got another book yesterday, 2 days ago, from the bookshop around the corner, and someone had left a book out, and it was called Robot Brains, and it's some weird, really crap sci-fi book. It's a book that I could probably read in about 2 hours, so I'm going to probably do a short review of that as well. But it's one of those books that I'm only going to read because I think it's going to be a 1-star book review. But I'm going to enjoy it, I hope. Anyway, see you later.